for the stretchy time that we've been through over the last few weeks. But Father, right in the beginning of that, you said that you are faithful. And Lord, this morning we really give you praise and honor and thanks for what you have done. Lord, you that have started a new thing. Your word said that you are faithful to complete it. So we just say thank you for that now, Lord. And Father, I thank you too that as your word goes out, as it goes out sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void this morning, but that it accomplishes all for you, all that you have for it to accomplish. And in all that is said and all that is done and all that is accomplished, may the name of Jesus be exalted in this place this morning. So Father, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, the last few weeks we've had some, I think, some challenging messages. In fact, after last week's message, I'm pleased to see most of you are back. All right? But we need to make sure that we share the full gospel. Is that right? And sometimes we need to be wound up a little bit about what the Word of God says, that we are those who not only hear the Word of God, but we do the Word of God. And if you were offended last week by what I shared, that's okay. Get over it. All right? And if you're not here because you're offended, hopefully you come back next week. Amen. So what I'd like to speak about today, in fact, the title of my message today is, there are benefits to believing in Jesus. There are benefits to believing in Jesus. Now, I am just going to have a look at a small portion of Scripture. We're going to have a look at just 9 verses this morning out of 1 John. So that we can see some of the benefits. Obviously, 9 verses, that's where all the benefits, you know, of you and I being believers in Jesus. So, what are the things that we can expect if we believe in Jesus? What is it that we can expect? Now, we're going to have a look at some of the truths in the Word of God. And some of the things that we're going to unpack here this morning is, first of all, the big one is that when we believe in Jesus, we will have eternal life. Right? Eternal life. You and I are going to spend eternity in the presence of Almighty God because of what Jesus has done. Is that right? That's a huge benefit, folks. Right? Your eternity is sorted. Another one that we're going to have a look at in these few verses is that our prayers will be answered as well. God answers prayer. God is a prayer answering God. Also, that's very important to us, is our protection. God protects us. And the last one that I'm going to speak about this morning is really, really a very important one. And sometimes we kind of push this one aside, but it is that we have a mind that is able to understand. When you and I get born again, right, a process starts to take place, and that is the renewing of our mind so that our thinking starts to line up with the Word of God. So and also, the Word says that when we do that, it gives us the ability to be able to know God. Unbelievers don't know God, and they can never know God. But as we get born again, we have the Holy Spirit, and we are able to have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. Now, you know that sometimes being a Christian is quite difficult. I don't know if you notice that, right? You know, maybe it's in your working environment. You're in your working environment, and people know that you are a believer. And those ones that are not believers, you better know they're watching you. They're watching you. And it's not a nice watching. It's not a pleasant watching, because they are watching, a lot of them, let me not generalize here, but trusting that you're going to slip up, that you are actually going to fall at some time, that you are going to mess up, and they are going to rise up and be very vocal about that. They're going to be vocal. In fact, maybe you have experienced this when you mess up. Look at you. Huh? And you call yourself a Christian? Is that right? Is that true? Folks, so the question here is being a believer or being a Christian, is it worth it? Is it worth it? right? And sometimes, because of you being a believer, it can result in a whole lot of difficulties, trials and tribulations, and even hardships. And this is as a result of you standing up for righteousness and standing up for the King and His kingdom. But again, the question is it worth it? And the answer to that question is a big yes. A big yes. A huge yes, right? And, you know, sometimes when it's difficult, we go through some difficulties. It might be, for example, a financial, you know, bit of a challenge. That when times are difficult, it's so easy to be distracted and we start to follow the teachings of someone who's going to make your life, inverted commas, easier. Right? And we start to embrace doctrines that, kind of false doctrines. We know the Lord wants to bless us, folks, but it's not all about money, for example. That, you know, we just go to church because we want to be blessed out of our socks, and that the Lord is going to pour out all this money upon us. And so, you know, we can quite easily start to follow teachings like that, where it might bring, let's use that as an example, a promise of wealth. Now, what happens when we start to embrace these things, it can somehow stop us or start to shut out us being able to hear God the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us. In other words, we reach a point where there's no conviction when we are going out there and just doing it our way. We're doing our own thing. And no more conviction. Remember, it is God the Holy Spirit that will convict us of the things that we do wrong. And never ever will the Holy Spirit condemn us. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit will convict us. Now, this is an interesting one. When you start to think about this, that our society, the society, especially the times that we are living in right now, is trying to redefine the term Christian. Trying to redefine the term Christian. They want it to mean a good person. Huh? Isn't that right? Oh, well, you know so-and-so. You know, they give to charity. And they are such a good person. You know, they're such a good Christian. Is that true? Because of what they've done. This is what people are trying to do. Because of what maybe somebody looks, you know, they see somebody that does a lot more good in their life than bad. And then they'll say, man, that person is such a good person. Such a good Christian. Again, because of what they've done, right? Folks, we need to be mindful and careful of all of this. This is not what Christianity is all about. Because what happens, they start to believe that because you are doing good things, that you are a Christian, and now because you're a Christian, you go to heaven. Is that true? Last week I shared that message about that it could be in the church of Jesus. Remember the 10 virgins, where 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Right, go and maybe listen to that message again. People sit, believers, folks, that will not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So this is what the world and the world system is trying to do. But the Bible defines a Christian in terms of believing in. Believing in who Jesus is. That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus walked on planet Earth in the flesh. It's believing in what Jesus did. That Jesus died on that cross for your sins and for my sins. So that we may be forgiven. So that we may spend an eternity in the presence of Almighty God. Believing in the bodily, this is an important one, the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it's essential that we get our head around that one because it's getting us to help us to understand His deity and all of that, because it's really proof of the eternal life that He came to give you and give to me as well. So if you believe these things, then you are a Christian, right? Who Jesus is. What Jesus did, also believing in His bodily resurrection. Is that true? Folks, why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John? So we're going to look at these 9 verses here this morning. And really, John wants to encourage us that there are real, real benefits in being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's have a look and see what he says. I'm starting from verse 13. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So there's the first one. That we know, that we know, that we know, that we know that we have eternal life. Isn't that a benefit to being a believer?
Amen.
Then he goes on and he says, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked him for. Now folks, what this is saying here, not only are we going to spend eternity in heaven in God's presence, that's a benefit, but also that he answers prayer when we come to the Lord with our prayer requests. He not only hears our request, but he answers our request. Amen? Is that a benefit to being a believer? 16. If anyone sees his brother committing sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death, and I do not say that one should pray for that. Then he says, all wrongdoing is sin. Isn't that true? What is sin, folks? Sin is you and I doing something that God's not happy with. That's it. Not complicated. You and I are doing something that God is not happy with. But it says here, all wrongdoing is sin. Yeah, we know that. But there is a sin that does not lead to death. So, how many of you have heard that all that sin is sin, brother, and whether it's you've stolen an apple or murdered someone, it's the same? Have you heard that? Well, what he's saying here, that there are different sins. You've got sin, some sins, but some sins lead to death. And that's talking about spiritual death. And the big sin is people not receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Goes on verse 18. And we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him. And the evil one does not touch him. So there is protection. If you are born again, you are a child of God, there is protection in this as well. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Is that right? Are we living in a fallen world?
Yes.
And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Why has Jesus come to give us understanding? So that we may know him who is true. And there it is. This understanding where we have the ability to be able to know Jesus. And the ability to be able to have a relationship with him. And this is what that understanding is. That we know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Then he says, he kind of throws this thing in there. He says, little children, talking to us, keep yourself from idols. From idols. We'll look at that right now. So folks, he starts off here with the most important benefit and to a believer, and that is eternal life. How many of you are happy that you are going to spend eternity in the presence of God? Some of us, that's wonderful. Isn't God good? Maybe this is a 50-50 we're speaking about last week. Careful. We should all put up our hands. Folks, we have eternity, right? We're going to spend eternity in a real place called heaven with our Heavenly Father, right? And you know that there are two places that one can go to. The other place, well, we don't like to say the H word. Hey, you don't say that word in church. You'll chase people away, you know. It's called hell. Okay? The Bible speaks about hell. It talks about you're either going to spend eternity in heaven or, thank you, you guys, hell. Simple. It's as simple as that. So folks, what he's saying here is that you and I can be assured of eternal life. Verse 13. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Last week, you remember, we prayed for Giovanni. Giovanni had put up his hand many times to receive Jesus, but he was never 100% sure. Remember, he came up, we prayed for him, and he said, I've done this many times. But when Giovanni saw in the Word of God, you know, and when we had that discussion, remember we said, Giovanni, this doesn't depend on your feelings or your emotions. It depends on what God's Word says. And God's Word, remember we went through, it was Romans 10 verse 9, God's Word says that you are now born again, and that settles it. We have to be careful when we start to rely on our emotions and you know, what we think. Let's look into the Word and see what God thinks is awesome. Are you right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're a Christian, you can know that you know that you are known, that you are totally assured of the fact that you have eternal life. And folks, you know that we need to be living this life with eternity in our hearts. Because if we live with eternity in our hearts, is that me making a noise? What am I doing?
Am I moving too much?
Shaking. We need to live with eternity in our hearts. Because that, if we are living our lives that way, we are actually preparing ourselves for the eternity that we are ultimately going to be moving into. I'm just going to do this. Maybe that's it. All right. So I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, have you ever thought about this too, that this could mean that we are full of pride? You know, if you go around and say, well, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. Could that be pride? Huh? Could that be pride? Well, I'm going to heaven and you're not. You know. Folks, you know what? It is pride. But it's only pride if we look at it in terms of how the world defines, come on, being a Christian. Because it becomes prideful if being a Christian is you and I just being a good person. Right? And this is not the way that the Bible defines being a Christian. It's as simple as that. Being a believer in Jesus is not dependent on our actions, right? Our eternal life is dependent on the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say it that way, then it is not pride. Because we've got nothing to do with it. So eternal life is dependent on the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's dependent on His death, on His burial, on His resurrection, and on His ascension. That's it, right? So us having this eternal life is not dependent on you, and it is not dependent on me. Now, just to back that up, I want to quote what Paul says to the Ephesians. And this is the same Paul that wrote three-quarters of the New Testament under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:8, he says, for by grace you have been saved. By grace. That word grace is that undeserved favor. That unmerited favor. By grace you have been saved through faith. Faith. Without faith, folks, it's impossible to please God. And then he goes on to say this. He says, and it is not your own doing. In other words, you cannot get yourself into heaven. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. And not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So, there it is. Are you gratefully saved?
Yes.
You wouldn't say so if you saw what I'm looking at. Seriously, guys. Hey? So what I'm saying here is that our eternal life is dependent on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We don't earn God's favor by doing stuff. I'm not saying we shouldn't do good things. Of course we should. But you will never ever get into heaven based on your good works. It's by grace. By grace. So we earn His favor by believing in His Son and what His Son did. Let me say this. Do you know that you're going to mess up from time to time?
Yes.
Look, I know if I was asking another church, other churches, this question, we'll probably get a different answer, all right? Because I know this church. You know, how many of you have messed up in the last 2 weeks? And this church, nobody will put up their hands. Oh, God, are you serious? Hey? We've messed up in the last 2 weeks. Gee whiz, eh? Okay? Because I'm telling you something. When we mess up, we have an enemy out there who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And his name is Satan. And he's going to come to you and he's going to say to you, you that put up your hand, right? See, you are still a little sinner. Just like you were before. Just like you were before. You haven't really changed, have you? Huh? I'm saying. Folks, you and I, we can be encouraged that having eternal life is not dependent on you and it is not dependent on me. And never allow Satan to come and throw these curveballs at you. Right? Be assured. We need to be assured of our eternal life and we need to settle it. Just like we saw last week with Giovanni. Settle that once and for all. Because if you walk around and think that you can kind of mess up and lose your salvation and then, you know, make a prayer, lob up a little prayer and now saved again, right? Oh, now mess up again, now I'm unsaved, right? You know, we start to put ourselves under law. Again, we start to try to earn this from the Lord. That was the first one, benefit, Corinth, of being a believer. Then there's another benefit that we see in these few verses. Be assured that your prayers are answered. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, let me say it again, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. How's that? So folks, a believer in Jesus can be assured of answered prayer if we pray according to His will. Now, it's interesting. Because if you want to know what the will of God is, you need to get into the Word of God, because the will of God is in the Word of God. But many people, they're too lazy, lazy Christians. Won't read the Word of God, they don't know what the will of God is because they won't read the Word of God, but then they, you know, get uptight with the Lord when He doesn't answer that prayer. That, huh? Is that true? Folks, we need to make sure that we spend time in the Word, because in the Word of God you will find the will of God. And some of us, to be quite honest, right, we want Him to answer according to our will. Our will. Lord, answer our prayer. No. My way. It doesn't work like that. But you know what's amazing? I was just pondering this the other day. That as we grow in the things of God, our will and God's will starts to line up. As we spend time with the Lord in prayer, right, and just having this relation, eventually His will and our will become the same. And in fact, the Word of God says that He places the desires in our heart. So when God places a desire in your heart, it's God that put it there. What we do now, we pray about that, Lord, won't you, you know, whatever it is. And next thing, it's His will, and He responds. Not complicated. So folks, it's quite amazing when you think about this, that the creator of the universe, the one that made the sun, heaven and the moon and the stars and all these things that we see, He not only knows and hears your prayers, but He answers it. Isn't that a good reason? That's a really good reason. But then there's another benefit that we see in these few verses, that we can be assured, of God's protection. Especially these times, folks, we need to ensure that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true? A relationship. So we can be assured of God's protection. It says in verse 18, he says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God, the Son of God, protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So what we see here is that God protects us when we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But there are responsibilities. We need to ensure that we have this relationship and that we're not just paying lip service to it. So even in this fallen world that we are living in right now, in this fallen world and world system, we are protected. We are protected. Amazing times that God will intervene that I'm sure we don't even know about. Now Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. It says, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal upon us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So what happens is when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God places his seal of approval on us, and that is God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling on the inside of us. So, if His seal is upon us, then we are children of God. Is that true? And if we are children of God, the Son of God protects you according to that. 1 John 5 verse 18. Wonderful. Are you doing okay?
Yes.
So if you are here today, and you have made a decision to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and if you've really made that decision, like we saw last week, folks, many, many people say, Lord, Lord, knock, 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 Lord, Lord, let me in. He says, I don't know you. I don't know you. We better make sure that we're not one of those. And he says, I don't know you. So if we have truly received Him as our personal Lord and Savior, there is absolutely no way that we are going to be able to reject, right, the teaching of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Reject the leading of the Holy Spirit as He guides us, because that's what He does. He guides us and He leads us as well. We're not going to be able to reject this. And this is with regards to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. Isn't that amazing? Do you feel loved by the Lord?
Yes.
We should, folks. He's done so, so much for us. So He will protect us so that we can stand. And then the last one I want to speak about that he mentions, this other benefit, the last benefit in this portion of the scripture, is that we can be assured of understanding hearts. And the context is of being able to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, that we, as we spend time with Him, we grow in this relationship with Him. He says in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Why has God given us understanding? Why has Jesus given us understanding? So that we may
know Him.
Know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And then He says, I always say it again, little children, keep yourself from
idols.
So God opens our heart here, you know, to a further understanding of how we are able to actually develop this relationship with Him and actually grow in Him as well. In Romans 1 verse 20 it says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Alright, sorry, the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. And what he's doing to, he's speaking here to so-called believers. So-called. Those virgins that were knocking at the door and Jesus says, I don't know you. You're speaking to those people where there's a form of godliness. Because what he's saying is right here is that that God has given every single person the ability to understand that he exists. And he tells us right there, you know how he exists? You just go and have a look outside. Go and have a look at creation. And you will know that there's a God out there. Let me read on. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God. So again, we see a form of godliness. Or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God, watch out, for images. Can you imagine that? The glory of Almighty God they exchanged for images, resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things, and who knows what they were worshipping. Remember that golden calf that jumped out of the fire? Huh? Folks, their hearts were darkened and they became fools. Fools when they rejected God's ways. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can grow in an understanding of God and have this relationship with God. So what happens? We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Our hearts have been opened. Our hearts have been softened. Our hearts have been filled with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, he says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that means that once we have the Holy Spirit, we can develop this relationship with our Creator. We can grow in knowledge of Him, and we grow in that undeserved favor, that grace of Him as well. And so God has given us, believers, the heart to be able to understand. And I'm sure you're sitting here right now and you're saying, well, how do we grow in understanding? I'm so pleased you asked that question. You did ask, didn't you?
Yes.
How do we grow in understanding? I'm pleased you asked the question. Listen to what Solomon has to say, the wisest man that ever walked on planet Earth. He says, my son, and he's talking to the daughters, right? My son, if you receive my word, this is God speaking to us. My son, if you receive my word and treasure my commandments, or treasure the instructions that I give you, he's telling us how to live life with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it. We have to look for it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So folks, we see with these things there are conditions to our relationship with the Lord. These things that we have to do. He's saying to us, it's available, but it's up to us to go and now do this. Huh? Amazing. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Who are the upright? Those of us, folks, that have received the Son. We are the upright. But we cannot get born again and remain baby Christians. We need to grow in the things of God. The upright. He's a shield. What does a shield do?
Protect.
So God is saying that when we do this, this is a condition here, when we do this, He will protect us. A shield to those who walk in integrity. So if you are not walking in integrity, the converse is that, well, maybe not God that God made. He's not obliged to have to protect you when He's told you that you need to walk in integrity. Is that right? So all I'm saying is that He gives us all of these things. He tells us how to do it. But there's a condition for us to embrace and receive these benefits. Guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. So God is looking over us. And He just wants the best for us. But there is a responsibility on our side. So our hearts grow in understanding when we are spending time in His Word. When we are meditating on His Word. When we are spending time in prayer. When we are spending time in fellowship with other believers. That, what is it, Romans 2:42 talks about the fellowship. We need to be in fellowship with one another. And also worshiping the Lord. We do it with music. We do it with sacrifice. We do it with service and all of these things. And when we are, now listen here. When we are not doing these things that He's instructed us to do, it becomes more difficult for you and I to stay away from false gods. Listen, right? And I'm saying false gods because there are gods out there, or there are things that are competing for your time and things that are competing for your worship as well. Okay. Maybe I should ask it like this. Are you worshiping idols? And of course, everybody says, no, of course I'm not worshiping idols. What about the money idol? Right? Making and spending more and becoming a slave to it. What about the activity idol? Well, becoming a slave to schedules, ongoing schedules. Here a schedule, there a schedule. Everywhere a schedule, schedule. Okay. What about the popularity idol? Okay. Where we become a slave to this thing of you know, being, how can I say, we start to be man pleasers because we want to be popular instead of making the decision to be a God pleaser. And it's all about then you start to become a people pleaser, and it's about getting an extra thumbs up on your Facebook thing. Am I right, folks? Especially this younger generation that's coming through that has kind of grown up with all of this. So if you are a believer, you have the benefit of God, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you. And He will, according to this, help you to grow in your understanding of the Father and the love that the Father has for you. So in conclusion, this is my final conclusion. Right. Just these 9 verses that you had a look at. Folks, we've been given many, many blessings and benefits as believers in Jesus. You know, I was thinking about it, even while we are going through trials and tribulations and difficulties, do you know that you can experience the joy of the Lord in the midst of all of that? Yes. Isn't that true? Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. That blessing is not for unbelievers. Do you know that while you're going through trials and tribulations, that you can experience a peace that surpasses all understanding? Yeah. While it looks like everything is falling apart around you. Isn't that a blessing? Our eternal life with Him does not depend on us going out there and doing good deeds. In other words, we have to get this. We cannot earn our salvation. Right? We cannot earn our relationship with the Lord. It depends on us first receiving His Son Jesus. Right? We also saw God the Creator, that He answers our prayers. Isn't that amazing? You saw in this portion of Scripture too, that God, our Creator, will protect us. And He will look after us. And also, that He gives us the understanding to be able to know Him and have a relationship with Him and grow close to Him, that we are able to hear Him when He speaks to us. Isn't God good? Isn't He good? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as I say, folks, that is really just 9 verses of the Bible where we just kind of unpacked a little bit of that. But those are just the tip of the iceberg, or the tip of the iceberg in terms of the benefits of being a believer in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.